Good morning. It's always a joy to stand before you. And above all, we thank God who created all things and made it possible for us to gather here today. In obedience to his divine commandments, that upon the first day of the week, we are to assemble together to worship God in truth and in spirit. In fact, that is the reason why God created man, to worship him. And before we get started this morning on our subject, which is learning to deny self, I want you to pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, who dwells in heaven, you are the great I am. You are the one who has no beginning and no ending. We want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts this morning for preserving our lives and above all to remind us together, to sing hymn of praises to your holy and divine name. We thank you, God, for the band of Christians that meet here at Southfield. We pray to you, God, to use us in thy kingdom. As we dive into your words this morning, O God, of what self-denial is all about, help us to always put you first in everything that we do in this life. We ask you to help us to cope in difficult circumstances and help us to lay down you for everything we partake of life and godliness. We pray for those who are outside thy kingdom. Pray, Father, that your words may touch their heart, that they may ask what they must do to be saved before everlasting life is too late. Help us to open our hearts this morning as we go into your words to study self-denial. Help us to learn what it means. For this and so many other good things we ask you, through the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, last week, we talked about what is self-denial. We defined the meaning of the word self-denial. And we also stated that man has a great problem mastering himself. Those who willfully engage in sin have not learned to control themselves. I know some of us requested these books. It has been ordered. Because it was such a large volume, it's going to take time before it comes. The second chapter this morning that I'm going to be talking about, Lesson 2 says, God demands self-denial. It is a demand. It is not a suggestion. It is not, I hope. The overall essence of the Bible, in all the stories that you have read, is all about self-denial. You can never truly be a faithful child of God if you do not understand the importance of this subject. You cannot serve God in truth and faithfully if you fail to understand the degree, the importance of this very subject. As a matter of fact, this is the overall essence of the Bible. This is what brought Jesus Christ here on earth to die for our sins. He said self-denial is not just a suggestion for a better life. It is a command of the Lord. The requirement for self-denial is found in more text than we may think on the surface. It says self-denial is affirmed on nearly every page of the Bible. Self-denial is a central tenet of Christian discipleship, reflecting the call to live a life that prioritizes the will of God and the needs of others over our personal desires. This principle is vividly illustrated in the practices of the early Christian community, particularly in their commitment to having all things in common. It is a very difficult subject, like I mentioned last week, because it goes against the very things that we have been taught and learned from childhood. The idea that you put others ahead of your own interest, the idea that you esteem others better than yourselves, is a difficult subject to tackle. But I do believe if we have a good understanding of this very subject, it's going to change our very outlook. It's going to make us a better Christian, a better disciple of Jesus Christ. Many of us, we struggle with our emotions. We struggle with things in life because we have not truly made that commitment, made that spiritual connection with God on what it means to be a Christian. From Abraham in the Old Testament, we read of the time when he told his nephew or cousin Lot, when it comes to choosing a plot of land, what did Abraham say? He asked Lot to choose first. We have to put the interest of others ahead of our own interest. We have to sacrifice whatever we have for the interest of others. I mentioned last week, if you've been paying attention right from the beginning, nations have interest. I have my own interest. But when you become a child of God and you are baptized and you come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ, there has to be a transformation. So many times we call ourselves Christians only in names, not in action. In fact, the Bible tells us even the devil did. They are terrified. But when it comes to obedience, they are nowhere to be found. It says the passages that require self-denial. Passages that specifically mention self-denial or self-control. In other words, we are talking about self-control. Many of us do not have that self-control when it comes to things in life. We easily fall prey to every wind of change. It requires deep, deep conviction that there is a God, that God still rules in the affairs of men, that no matter what life brings to me, God is able. And he can. And he promised he will. The very first thing that Jesus said was, Jesus said to those desiring to be his disciple, must deny self. People have conquered lands, cities, bring horses, train them, lions, dogs, but there's one thing man has not been able to control, and that is he or herself, himself, herself. Why is this so difficult? Why is this subject matter so difficult? Because it goes in the very thing we've been taught right from the beginning. It's me. It's me. I do not care what happens to you. All I care about is me. Remember what Jesus said. He said, if you lose your life for my sake, what does the Bible tell us? You will find it. When it comes to him choosing his apostles, he chose men from different backgrounds. But one of the most fascinating things that I read was John and the rest of them who were fishermen. The Bible tells us they abandoned their profession and simply followed Jesus Christ. In today's society, the most important thing that people look at is your wealth, your height, how beautiful or how good looking you are. Jesus thought, Christ said, God said, remember when he came to choose a king for the Israelites, what did the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us man look on the outside, but God does word. Look on the inside. We cannot just simply say we are Christians, we are members of the Lord's Church. But have we been truly converted? Do we look at things the way God wants us to look at things? You look at what is inside. No, we cannot see what is inside of a man or a woman. But their action and behavior will demonstrate what is inside of them. He said, Paul preached to Felix about righteousness, temperance, judgment to come. Acts of Apostles chapter 24 verse 25. Peter lists temperance as one of the Christian graces which we are to add to our faith. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 6. In Galatians chapter 5 verse 23, the Bible tells us the fruit of the Spirit includes self-control. I repeat that again. The fruit of the Spirit includes self-control. He said, those who run the race and compete for the crown must be temperate in all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. The comparison in this text is that we are to be self-controlled and self-disciplined as athletes are. I do not know your background. You do not know my background. You do not know how I grew up. I do not know how you grew up. I do not know the things you have experienced in this life. But what matters the most? What am I doing on a daily basis to have self-control? He said athletes have willpower and persistence, keep their mind focused, and make themselves do what they may not want to do. Elders are to have self-control. Titus chapter 1 verse 8. And each man should be temperate. Titus chapter 2 verse 2. It says the passages which deal with self-denial and self-control in principle. Paul urged the Romans not to continue in sin. Romans chapter 6 verse 1. By telling them not to let sin reign in their bodies, Romans chapter 6 verse 12, that requires self-control. You know yourselves better than anyone else. The Bible tells us, if you do not work, do not eat. If you know there is something in your life, in my life, that is making it difficult for me to have that connection between God and me. In fact, Jesus Christ made an example. It says, if your ear causes you to sin, what do you have to do? Do what? What does that mean? Does it necessarily mean you have to take a physical knife and cut off your ear? Do not think Jesus Christ was promoting mutilation. Like I said, excuse me. When you become a child of God, you do not own yourself anymore. You belong to who? To God. Most relationships and most marriages and fail because people, they fail to give themselves in the first place to God, and they fail to give themselves in the second place to their spouse. When we become a child of God, there are certain things that is going to make us grow. Self-denial involves we give up the right to do what? To revenge. Romans chapter 12, 19 to 20. Is that an easy thing to do? Why is that the case? When somebody says things to us that really hurts our feelings. When somebody do things to us, our first instinct is to do what? To take revenge. But over and over again in the Bible, I see where Jesus Christ was laying, you know, on that cross in extreme pain. What did he say? Father, forgive them for their what? Know not what they do. We also find an example of Stephen as he was being put to death, as he was being stoned to death. What did he say? Father, forgive them. I think when we become a Christian, it's not a guarantee that everything in this life is going to be smooth sailing. We are not going to run into bruises and storms and all things that the devil is going to throw our way. But you can never truly become a child of God and learn from your mistakes if you fail to realize and understand that you have to have self-control in this life. And there's another thing. We also give up the right to have a comfortable, secure home. Luke chapter 9, 57 to 58. The Bible tells us as they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. But Jesus replied, foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head. Self-denial requires persistent, never giving up, always working at it. Every summer, and I have these birds that come to our house and they build nests. I'll get rid of the nest. And one thing I've learned from them, they are persistent. Even to the point Alan helped me seal the place up under the deck. But they never gave up. Just yesterday, my wife told me, did you know they have two nests under the deck? I said to myself, how did that happen? There is a cable or a pole that transmits electricity, and they were able to build a nest on it. I said to myself, if these birds can be persistent and they never give up, God is trying to tell me something. I need to be persistent and never give up. So many of us give up easily. We are angry. We do not have control over our emotions. A brother says something to us, oh, I've had it. I'm going somewhere else where they're not going to hurt my feelings, where they're not going to say things to me that will make me upset. And what comes to my mind is this. I go to work. People chew me out. They say all kinds of things to me. They disrespect me. They do not acknowledge me. But guess what I do the next day? I go back to work. Why is that the case? Because I have to feed my family. I have bills to pay. You cannot be a true child of God if we do not master this subject. Any comments so far? And here is something else that has to do with self-denial. We give up the right to a good reputation. When they talked about Jesus Christ, what did they say? He said, the son of that carpenter. Was that a derogatory statement? Of course it was. Carpentry is one of the most tough and gruesome jobs that you can do. You have to go to the forest and cut down any tree, and you have to fashion it the way you want it to be fashioned. God is trying to fashion us in the way that he wants us to be, the way he wants us. But we just keep refusing. Every suggestion that God makes to make us better, we say, no, I can do it better myself. And the Bible tells us it is not a man that worketh to direct his steps. Yes.
I'm not sure that they were ridiculing the fact that he was a carpenter, because there were many carpenters in those days. but I think is the fact that he was espousing his spirituality, and how can a carpenter be this spiritual? How can he perform miracles? And they were saying, isn't that the guy, isn't that the son of Joseph? So they were saying, how can he do this? I don't think they're making fun of his carpentry. Maybe wrong.
That could be, you're right. You know, that could be part of it. Could be true. And look at what the book of Matthew chapter 5 verse 43 to 47 tells us. You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you in that way. You will be acting as a true children of your Father in heaven. How many of us pray for our enemies? How many of us truly pray for those who have hurt us? For those who have said bad things to us? Not many of us do. When we practice self-denial, guess what else we do? We give up the right to be earned and served. A Christian's role is to serve others and not to be served. I repeat that again. The role of a Christian is to serve others and not to be served. We take time for other things we do in this life. We practice to get better in sports. We practice to be a better singer. But we do not practice when it comes to self-control. It means you have to think all things over before you say things, before you react to situations. Before you embank on anything you do in life. How many of us pray? In most cases, we do not. Another principle of self-denial is we give up the right to live by our own rules. Have you heard of that? People say, I have my own rules. I'm going to simply follow my rules. It says any passages that forbid the following requires self-control. What we are talking about here is self-control. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 22, Matthew chapter 5 verse 28, he talks about lust, lying, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 25, immorality, 1 Corinthians 6 verse 13, covetousness, Colossians 3 verse 5, and retaliation. How many of us have retaliated against others in our lives in the past? Did it make you feel good? Of course it made you feel good. We want to see people who have hurt us the most suffer. But what does the Bible teach us when it comes to retaliation?
It belongs to God.
Thank you, sir. He also talks about laziness. I think the reason why I fall prey sometimes is because when it comes to studying the Word of God and applying it in my life, I'm just lazy. We are talking about things that you shouldn't be doing. But these are things that will help you with self-control, gentleness, patience, soberness, contentment, and chastity. I don't know if you've been paying attention to what has been going on in our society with regards to the financial turmoil. If you have 401k or 403b or whatever retirement account you have, I don't even look at mine anymore. But I was listening to a commentator, and it really struck a chord. He said, in America, we live beyond our means. We are constantly swiping our credit cards. Our nation is swimming in debt. I'm not sure the last count, whether 34 or 40-something trillion dollars. Why? Because of lack of what? We have leaders, politicians, ministers, common people like you and I. We do not have what? Self-control. When you do not have self-control, brothers and sisters in Christ, there is a price that is going to be paid one way or the other. God said sin will not go what? Unpunished. I may not like you, you may not like me, but God demands that I put your interest ahead of my own interest. He said, in fact, any passage that forbids anything and any passage that commands anything teaches self-denial. This is an area in which we need to grow. The Christian life is a continual growing process. What does he say? He said the Christian life is a continuing growing what? Process. It's like a garden. And you do not water the plants or you do not water your flowers, what happens to it? It dies. So is our life here on earth. So is the life of a Christian. So is our spiritual life. It must be watered. It must be surrounded with good thoughts. It must be surrounded with good people. It must be surrounded with the word of God that we read and dwell on it and meditate on it on a daily basis. I know sometimes we are so busy throughout the whole day, we don't even have time to open the Bible. And some of us sometimes, including me, sometimes we go through whole day, sometimes we do not even take the time to pray. I was coming home this morning from work and this car was just, like people say, just riding your tail. So I was, and he was so close, and I was afraid it was going to hit me. This was about 3-something in the morning. So he almost missed his turn, but he came back. So right as I got to Old National Highway, there is a light. So I saw the way he was driving, so I changed lane. And he was on the right-hand side. I'm not sure if he was drunk or if he was just tired. And the next thing I knew, he just hit the embankment, and one of his tires came off. What did that teach me? We are so much in a hurry. We are so much in a hurry. We want to get things done now, now. But we fail to take the time, like they say, to smell the roses. You cannot grow as a child of God. You cannot grow if you do not practice the things that we are talking about, self-control. You know where your weak points are. You know what you must do to overcome the sin in your life. You know what self-control is all about. He said self-control is a relative matter, and that is, there are varying degrees of temperance. Self-control, just there are with all of the Christian graces found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 10. None is perfect without a flaw. Who cannot grow anymore in temperance? Which areas in your life you need self-control? It's a question for you and me today. Do I need to ask every one of each of us which area of your life you need self-control? I want you to write it down that I need self-control in these areas. Self-control means sacrifice. In practical terms, self-denial may manifest in various ways, such as fasting, giving up certain comfort, or choosing to serve others at personal cost. It involves a conscious decision to play God's will above personal preferences, often requiring difficult choices and sacrifice. In other words, it requires sacrifice. What have you sacrificed for the cause of Christ? What have you given up for the cause of Christ? Remember what Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27? He writes, "No, I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." Paul's commitment to self-discipline and self-denial is evident in his willingness to forgo personal liberties for the sake of the gospel and the spiritual well-being of others. Paul said he suffered a lot. He went through a lot. You know, you have brothers and sisters who treated him badly. He said, but it does not matter. I did it for the work and for the cause of Christ. Another poignant example is found in the life of Moses, who chose to identify with the suffering people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin in Pharaoh's court. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 to 26. Moses' decision to forsake earthly treasures for the sake of God's promises illustrates the essence of self-denial. Self-denial is a required theme in the Bible, exemplified by the actions and decisions of many of his central figures. One notable instance of self-denial is found in the life of Abraham, particularly in his dealings with his nephew Lot. This episode, recorded in the book of Genesis, highlights Abraham's willingness to forgo his own rights and preferences for the sake of peace and family harmony. Do we strive for peace and harmony in our own family? And if we do not, what are some of the reasons why we do not strive for peace and harmony? Because we have not truly put the interests of our family, our wife, our brothers, our sisters, ahead of our own interest. If there is confrontation, it has to do with people's what we call self-preservation. You want my seat? Absolutely, you can have it. But we cannot truly grow and spread and enjoy the joy of a Christian if we have not put in any effort or desire or the willingness to learn to be closer to God. He said Abraham's offer to Lot is a profound act of self-denial. As the elder and the leader of the family, Abraham had the right to choose first. However, he willingly relinquishes his right, allowing Lot to select the portion of land he desires. This decision reflects Abraham's trust in God's provision and his commitment to maintaining peace. We must strive to maintain peace at all costs. Some people are not interested in maintaining peace. They want to cause confusion. We have seen brothers' congregations split because of minor issues. Things that are not necessary, that are not that important. Some people say, I want the color of the pew to be green. And if the color of the pew is not green, nothing you do is going to make them happy. Some people are just miserable. They are never happy. They are always angry. They think the whole world owe them everything. But when you become a child of God, you should be filled with what? Joy. Paul said, I'm content no matter what. Absolutely. He said, I am crucified with Christ, yet not I that lives, but who?
Christ who lives in
me. Christ who lives in me. Is Christ living in you today? In word and in deed, or just simply proclaiming, oh, Christ lives in me. But my action proves otherwise. The way we treat our spouse proves otherwise. The way we treat our fellow human being proves otherwise. The way we treat others proves otherwise. But does Christ really live in you? We treat others, strangers, better than we even treat our family members. I've been that road before. So have you. But I have to work at it. You have to work at it. You have to make your wife the most important person in your life. You have to make your husband the most important person in your life. You have to make your brothers and sisters in Christ the most important person in your life. And I truly mean that. Brothers and sisters, as we wrap up this chapter, God demands self-denial. God demands self-control from you and from me. You can't live a faithful Christian life, a joyful Christian life, if you do not have self-control. You have to look at your life today and see where you need self-control. Once you do, the next thing for you to do is to pray for God to give you self-control over the things in your life that you need to improve on. And I thank you for your time.